Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Falkirk Daft. We're back, baby, top of League One, and we are officially the only undefeated team in the UK in the top leagues. How's about that? Yes! Up you Dundee United and Celtic, here we go. I am your host, John McInally. As ever, I am joined by the one-man band in the main stand, the king of hospitality. Some call him Rosspitality. He is the ginger god of pod. It's Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good evening, sir. Good evening. It's a good, fine Sunday it's been today. A brilliant Sunday.
It was a brilliant Saturday and a brilliant Sunday. Unfortunately, I could not be at Hamilton yesterday. I am fucking gutted. Looking at the pictures that came in, the chat that's been on all our socials. Oh my God, Ross, what a day.
It was absolutely fantastic from start to finish. I hate to rub it in. I'm sorry,
like hearts all over again.
Aye, it was a brilliant day, to be fair. Early start, we were in Elliot's for just after 11. I think the bar staff were actually really concerned that we were leaving, because obviously we had a minibus booked for 11:45, so they were quite annoyed that the 16 of us were heading out the door at 11:45. But yeah, got through to Hamilton, brilliant wee pub through at Hamilton, a place called the Peacock and Ivy.
I saw there was a wee band on.
There was. Some of the boys were like, "Oh, you've got a band on for us, Wayne, have you?" And I was like, no, I can't take any credit for that. So, but it was really good, just round the corner for Hamilton West Station.
Yeah,
not too many Accies fans in, maybe about 20 or 30 Bairns fans all in. So, no, it was really good. Nice wee boozer. And then, 10-minute walk to the ground. So, just absolutely fantastic, though. But, mate, the atmosphere, even in the pub beforehand, everybody was up for it. It just felt like it was going to be our day. It really did.
Oh, man, I'm gutted it didn't make it. I, unfortunately, was DJing. Through at the Stirling Highland Hotel, that's the last of the Christmas party DJ nights. Oh, my God. It's been hard going. Some Christmas parties, you know, you're playing all the usuals. But see, when you play Proud Mary and you only get four people up on the dance floor, you know, it's a tough night. So I end up doing this. They seem to like a bit of coordinated dancing. Some lassie came up and said, "Oh, can you play the slosh?" I said, "I no bother." Got on the slosh. I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm going to double down here. Cha-cha slide after that. More people joined the dance floor after that. Let's sew on the old Macarena. Let's see how that goes, right? Threw that on. More people joined the dance floor. And then I thought, I'll start the old, start a wee conga around the pubs. I put on the OJ's Love Train. Said to one lassie, right, you're the leader of the Love Train. You got to lead it around the pub and all that sort of stuff. So that happened. And then it was Bannockburn Rugby Club that were in, had most of the room. So right. I said, let's have a dance off between the forwards and the backs. So I then set up Jason Nevin style, the forwards on one side of the room, the backs on one side, had a dance off. That's the levels I was stooping to get a dance floor going. But I am so happy the party season is over. It honestly is. You know, like the DJ, like when you be kind to DJs at Christmas parties, that's all I'll say. Because all we get now is people coming up their phones going, "You got this song? Can you play it off my phone? Can you play it off my..." It's not like the old days when you used to have CDs or whatever, and then you just like, I honestly don't have it, but now they're like, "You've got a Spotify, you can put it on." So that was mine. I have to say, though, we had to, I'll tell you this story actually, Ross, because it's quite funny. Very, very cringy, however. So we had a 360 photo booth. I don't know if you've seen this, right? Basically, what happens is you stand in a circle, could be one, two, three people in the circle, and a camera kind of revolves around you, right? And it kind of films you for 10 seconds, gives you this really cool kind of slow motion, cool video. You've got to do a bit of posing and what have you. So, I've been manning this for the last kind of 3 weeks, and my partner's always the same, you know. It's like, you know, three's back on the thing, make sure you're back to back, you know, a bit of posing. You can do a bit of big fish, little fish cardboard box, bit of voguing, pretend you're Destiny's Child, all this kind of part, right? That's me. So I always say, and make sure you keep your hands and feet inside, because otherwise, you know, we've had a few incidents of people getting their arms taken off, right? So I start this part, all right? I'm up to the bit where I keep your hands and legs inside, and I look up, and the lassie had one arm.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I kind of stopped myself before I said it, though, but yeah. I was just like, and make sure you keep your feet and everything inside the circle.
That, oh my god, that's almost like Alan Partridge-esque.
Oh my god. So, but the Christmas party season's done. Hope you enjoyed your own Christmas party. Actually, talking Christmas parties, we're having our Falkirk Daft Christmas party this Thursday, Ross. Go see Parliamo. Bo Dandy from Parliamo, who drums in the band, messaged me this week after his trip over to Flamenco last weekend. Said, thanks for all the mentions on the podcast. Looking forward to seeing you boys at the gig. Listen, if you are a Bernie Hen down at the gig, me and Ross are going to, we'll mess out in social, so we're going to be, join us for a beer. Love to see you. It's the Falkirk Daft unofficial Christmas party. Basically, me and Ross are going to see Parliamo on Thursday. So look forward to that this Thursday, final Christmas party of the season before we get into it. Right, anyway, got to say thanks, of course. And we're talking Christmas parties. Haldane Construction, they have got a great Christmas prize for you guys. They've been our sponsors this season. Big Peter from Haldane Construction got in touch with me today, said, John, I gutted you missed yesterday. What a day it was. It was immense. Whole stand never sat down. What a buzz. 100% the best away game yet. That was Peter's verdict. Thanks very much, Peter. But Peter is the main man at Haldane Construction. Remember, they're delivering construction and building projects across the Central Belt for the last two decades. From domestic extensions, new builds, swimming pools. Don't forget that. If you want a swimming pool, they can do whatever you want. They're going to talk to you through the project all the way. Absolutely, communications at the forefront of their business, and customers at the heart of everything Haldane Construction do. And as customers are at the forefront of everything they do, we've got to say thanks to Peter, who has given us a fantastic prize to give away on Falkirk Daft this evening. He's got he sent me this thing, I've got some boxes. I'm like, I felt like Brad Pitt in Sevens. Like, what's in the box, man? And he said, coaster, a keyring, a whiskey glass, a Johnson's tablet, a mulled wine, a kit, miniature whiskey and wine, Yankee candle. And he's going to get some bits from the club shop too to stick in the box. And you can win a box from Haldane Construction. And it's easy as that. Right. So how are we going to do this competition? I hear you ask. Here is how we're going to do it. Just tell me, what the Haldane Construction specialise in? Simple as that. I've just read it, told you what they specialise in. All you got to do is tweet Falkirk Daft. We'll just do this on Twitter. Tweet Falkirk Daft, what the Haldane Construction specialise in? Tag Haldane Construction in when you send your tweet. And there you go. You could be one of a quality box from Haldane Construction with all that stuff in it. Whiskey glass, Johnson's tablets, mulled wine kit, miniature whiskey, Yankee candles, and stuff from the club as well. So, yep, just tell us what Haldane Construction specialise in. Tweet your answer to Falkirk at Falkirk Daft on Twitter, and we'll get that sorted for you on next week's show. And it'll be a great Christmas present. And if you haven't done your Christmas shopping, as many people haven't, Ross Wayne, I'm looking at you. You all sorted?
I'm covered. All done.
Oh, look at that. There's an organised man, if ever I've seen one. But if you haven't, you get a Haldane Construction box and then wrap that up, give it to someone for Christmas. What's this Haldane Construction? Well, we say, you know, they've been delivering fantastic projects across the central region for decades now. And they're like, do you not know Haldane?
Speaking of Haldane, I saw someone tweeted Haldane the other day. They're saying, how many retweets for a swimming pool?
Yeah, Absolutely. Quality and loyalty are the heart of their business, of course. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. You can get Peter and the team if you have a quality construction project that you need fixing. And like I say, obviously, what do Haldane Construction specialise in? Get that answer over to us and obviously copy Peter at Haldane Construction into the tweet. Right, okay, half-season ticket sales are on sale right now. That includes the Orange Cove match, which will become a really, really important match. So Jamie confirmed that on Twitter. We've sold 2,709 season tickets as of Thursday. That's a great number.
Phenomenal number of season tickets. And I know, well, obviously, we are in League One. We know where we are. But even if in the Championship, John, that's probably a phenomenal number of season tickets. I'd be shocked if probably Dundee United and Dunfermline aside, I bet you the rest of the league haven't sold that number of season tickets. Yeah. So the fact that we've done it again in League One shows what we're all about. And we do. We back the team. We back the club. No more evident than yesterday. And I agree with Peter. At Haldane when he said about no one sat down, like it was like it felt like a proper away day yesterday. He's right, yeah. No single person sat for
I saw Georgie's George Wright's tweet and it looked like an absolute bounce when that's goal went.
Oh, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Not just at the goals as well, like we got in because we had preempted issues getting in and there was none. We got into the ground probably about 25-23 in good time, and the noise level pre-match was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Half-season tickets on sale now. Get yours, get involved. I mean, because that's half the season done. I mean, we'll talk about it. 21 games unbeaten is just the best start to, you know, in the club's history, yeah. Unbelievable. And let's just keep that run going. Speakers' night's happening. That's we obviously did our one a few weeks ago, but the actual speakers' night, which they do in aid of FFC Academy, is on very, very soon. Peter Martin and John Gagan. John, if you've not seen John Gagan before, he's brilliant. Absolutely,
he's such a funny guy. Oh,
so good, so good. But yeah, you can get that the tickets now if you head to the website. £65 per person or £600 for a table of 10. There's only a few tables left. Ross, I saw you were trying to drum up support for getting people onto a Falkirk Daft table.
Do you know if there's only a few tables left, why not? If there's anyone listening that does want to get involved and maybe get a group of listeners together going to the event, because you know what it's like, see if you're on your own or there's maybe only a couple of you, sometimes you get put off by going to these things.
Yeah.
Listen, if there's a chance for a Falkirk Daft table, including like everybody who wants to go that's listening to the podcast, get in touch. And Graham and, well, the two Grahams will definitely help us out, let us take one of the final tables there.
Obviously, letting the professionals do this one, Ross, rather than the Chuckle Brothers here.
Exactly.
Let's ask Tiger McCaughlin about Alex Ferguson again, will we?
Oh my God, I'm still having nightmares from that question.
I told that story today. I've told that story so many times to people. If you weren't at the night, you'll know what happened. Amazing. Right, Michael White's, we've got to talk about Michael White. He does so much for the club. Club's historian. 150th anniversary book is out now. It's sold out. 250 copies gone in the first batch. You can collect yours at Behind the Wall this Wednesday, which is Wednesday the 20th, between 2 and 5 p.m. or the Brockville Bar in the KM Stand on Friday between 2 and 5. Second print run's happening in January. If you're interested, contact Michael White or Falkirk FC Heritage social media pages on Facebook and Twitter. Cost is £30. I have got most of Michael, like the first kind of, was it, this is book number 5, I believe, that Michael's done?
It's a good question. It's 5 or 6. Have you seen the size of this one, though? Like, see, when you look at the graphic, the picture he's put up, so it's an A4 size book, John. And it must be, like, honestly, it's so thick. So the detail that's been put into
Do you know what? I'm going to have to email Michael because I need to get it. It's one of these coffee table books, you know, that people have. Like, I've got a nice wee coffee table. I've got a couple of books that you just put out for show, like, you know, to look fancy. I think I've got The Making of Empire Strikes Back, which is this massive big compendium. that would look great in my coffee table. I'm sure the wife would be delighted with that. So I need to contact Michael and get that. So get yours ordered now. He's going to do our second print run in January. really fancy that myself. FSS fundraiser, the Falkirk Support Society fundraiser, which we're going to get into the draw just in a minute. But Blockbusters, who are a glam rock tribute, that sounds right up my street, by the way, are playing the Cayman Social Club 26th of January at just the old Labour Club, of course you'll know that. 15 quid tickets from Skiddle, and all proceeds go to the FFC football budget. I am guessing Derek Steele is involved in this.
I assume the Steele brothers are heavily involved.
Yeah, I probably Scott and Derek will be involved.
It sounds like a brilliant night. I know, like, maybe some of the younger elements of the fan base might not be up their street, but there's plenty of us that will absolutely love that night. And I don't know what the capacity is, maybe a couple of hundred in there. I'm sure it'll sell out, so get your tickets ASAP.
I'll be honest, yeah, I quite fancy that, Ross. You know, it's like getting over, you know, the last kind of, you know, you do your dry January or whatever, that'd be a perfect night to kind of, I know it's still January, but fuck it, 4 days out.
Who do we play on the Saturday? Let's have a wee
look. Oh, that's a good question.
It's maybe a home game. No, that matters, because we could still go along, but let's have a wee look.
Is that that's not Scottish Cup weekend, is it? The Scottish Cup weekend
before? No, actually, do you know, that's the weekend before TNS, though. We are away to Alloa on Saturday the 27th, so that could be a brilliant wee warm-up. It's not as if it's a long journey the next day either. So if there's a few sore heads, you don't have to get out.
No, exactly. Listen, that'll be tremendous. I love a wee bit of glam.
Yeah.
I suspect Blockbusters are Slade, it'll be T-Rex, it'll be the Sweet, it'll be all that sort of stuff. Love that stuff. So that could be a decent wee night to get along to. So get involved with that. 15 quid tickets at Skiddle. Right, okay, it's time for our monthly draw for the Falkirk Support Society, talking about them. Remember, if you want to be in this draw every month, you must sign up to the Falkirk Support Society. And remember, do it if you can. Switch from PayPal over to direct debit or standing order, sorry. Get that sorted now, because that helps the guys over at the FSS. I haven't done it yet. I need to do that. So my things to do over the Christmas holidays, I'll definitely be getting that sorted as well. But yeah, get that done, because a lot of people that joined up initially, their PayPal registration's running out now. So you need to preferably switch over to the standing order. But as ever on Falkirk Daft, we've got our monthly draw. There's now 859 members. We're not kicking the arse away from the 1,000. That's only like 141 left, and then we're on to the 1,000. So let's keep it going. And lads, say, join up, you'll get into this draw every month on Falkirk Daft. Thanks to the Falkirk Supporter Society for this. Right, okay, 859 members are going in to the supercomputer, which is basically random.org, on the computer. And Ross has all the names in front of you, don't you, Ross?
I do indeed, yes. And we've got four prizes this month, John. So the fourth prize, as ever, it's an ever-present opportunity to win a Behind the Wall voucher, courtesy of Brian Flynn at Behind the Wall. Third prize is two tickets to the Blockbusters gig that we've just made mention of.
Nice.
I think you'll love the second one if you were to win. The second prize is a mascot opportunity for this season.
Oh, but then is there any age specifics on it?
They've not said there is, so I assume.
See, well, there you go. I thought you were going to say it's a date with Tam Lang, but you know, that's.
Looking at your. Just realised you've obviously got there Mr. Lang behind you there, which is a scenario that you would.
There he is.
In personal life, if he was standing behind you. And first prize, as ever present as well, is a boardroom experience for two, courtesy of the board.
Cool. Well, let's do the draw now then, shall we? Let's bring up the supercomputer, as we say. Bring that up on. If you're watching on YouTube, this will make complete sense. If you're listening to the podcast, you'll just have to take our word for it. Okay, here we go. So we've got 1 to 859 put in. We're going to generate the first number, and this is for the Behind the Wall voucher, and that goes to 656.
656 is Mr. Scott Heron. Well done, Scott.
Scott Heron, there you go. Brilliant. You're off to Behind the Wall for a bit of lunch. Right, okay, next one out is 426.
426. We have a Mr. Kyle Fivey. Well done, Kyle.
Good day, good done, Kyle. That is for the Blockbusters tickets.
Indeed.
For that gig. Okay, this is the mascot experience. Great prize to be won. And it goes to, cross your fingers, John, cross your fingers. 403. I don't think that's me.
403. Let's have a look. It's not you, unfortunately, John. It's Matthew Gardner, though.
Well done, so Matthew. There you go.
I'm not sure what age Matthew is, but it'll either be him holding Cole's hand or maybe one of his kids or a relative.
Yeah, what an amazing Christmas present for one of the kids if you're to get that for Christmas. So there you go. Well done, Matthew. And finally, the boardroom experience is going to 544.
544. That's all male winners this week. So we've got Mark Hamilton. Well done, Mark.
Well done, Mark. There you go. So there we go. That is the Falkirk Supporters Society draw done for the month. If you want to get involved in the draw next month, it's so simple. Just sign up for Falkirk Supporters Society. Remember, all the money is going into the club. We'll help John McGowan with a January budget. Though, do we need any players?
Well, John, I think we need to keep on top of it, though, because we're in front, but you know Hamilton and... Cole will probably invest a little bit.
Especially with, we'll get into it, but Hamilton's injuries and is there a goalkeeper situation? We need to talk about that, I think. But let's move on to the game then, shall we? And every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to invite a guest pundit on to talk through the game. And this week is no exception, of course. Let's speak to Alan Risk.
Cheers, and thank you for having me, guys.
Not a problem, sir. Good
to have you on. We've just discovered that Alan is an ultra-marathon runner and has been running for 7 hours today.
I just trying to burn off the enthusiasm I gained yesterday at the game.
You must have been flying round that day, well, you know.
I'll tell you what, man. It's just the atmosphere of the game, like the whole day. I was there with my brother, his brother-in-law, seeing his first Falkirk game, one of my best mates, James. And just to get a result like that, on a day like that, as important as it is, but at this stage of the season, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alan, you know, I was saying that to John just before he came on. It was almost like everything just clicked yesterday, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. It felt like a pressure moment, and it felt like the kind of game that can either, if you win it, obviously maintain an unbeaten run, we go to new heights. If you lose it, you're really worrying going into January.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, Alan, but you're your first time pundit on here, we need to ask the standard questions. How'd you get into supporting Falkirk, first of all?
I mean, obviously, I'm born and bred in Kenlan, so Falkirk is the local club, other than the juniors. I used to work at Malcolm Allen's Butchers up in Larbert, and I loved the boys in the Saturday.
Oh, did you?
For years, probably when I was about 15 through, it was about 19. And obviously finished it whatever 1 o'clock on a Saturday, and quite a lot of the boys were straight up to Falkirk. So that was when I started going to the games.
Stinking at all the meat and all that. Reeking the game.
Exactly that. Trying to fleece mince pies for pints.
Aye. So was it then after the game behind the wall, down the road for a wash, then back up to Rosie's, the standards, aye?
If you had time for a wash, aye. But that's what it was. Usually the boys would meet about Auntie Katie's, and then you'd head into town, and all the usuals. I remember a lot of the games you can't remember. I mean, we were talking about it because obviously it was my brother-in-law's, my brother's brother-in-law's first game with Falkirk, and he was saying what a good time he had. And I was telling him about a Queen of the South game we went to, and God, I can't even mind when it was, maybe 2010 or something. And we were clapping the team off at half time singing Tsunami. That was the song that was going about at the time. I remember clapping the team off, and we're like at 0-0 half time. It's good half of football, like looking forward to them coming back out. And then the stewards came out after about 15 minutes and told us all to leave. Apparently, the match had been abandoned. And it was only when I'd sobered up, like the following day, I checked it was abandoned after 20 minutes. We all thought it was half time.
Amazing.
Right, so out the way that has that effect on
that is true. It's a long journey down there. Alan, out with the Holy Trinity though, who's your favourite Falkirk player?
Well, so we've got a running joke. We've got a couple of wee players that like we used to sign during some of the glory days. Like there's a boy called Danny Marchetta. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, yeah.
So just having a foreign name in the back of your Falkirk shirt, that was fun. I don't think he did much on the
Danny Marchetta is an absolute belter, by the way.
Yeah, did we get him from, was it Red Star Belgrade or something?
Aye, it
was something like that.
It was he was under 21 for, it was like
seven. It was like Slovenia or something like that. But it was like one of these players that you're like, straight home, Football Manager, I'm going to sign him as well. And then he's garbage.
You've just given me a flashback. I actually remember the press release and it said something like, he's on loan. However, Falkirk have the option to buy him £500,000 if he works out.
You're like, oh my God.
He went back on loan. He went back to his parent club.
I'm just immediately went on to Google, what is Danny Marchetta doing now? So, right, 11 caps for Slovenia it was at under 21 level. After being on Partizan Belgrade, we're so off with all these facts, by the way. He's now 34, he is retired, it looks like, in 2019. Played for Copper, played 35 awesome. Games for there, played for Virtus Lanxinkanio. Between 2012 and 2014, 2015 he played for Triglav Cranj, and 2017 to 2019 he played for Sava Cranj. So there you
all
go.
All these well-known clubs.
The life and times of Danny Marchetta there.
Sounds like Volkert was his peak of his career, to be fair.
He ended up playing 15 games for us. I did not think it was that much.
No, I wouldn't have been able to guess that.
It's funny you say that though, Alan. I used to have, remember Big Pelly that joined us? I thought there's very few opportunities you're going to have Pelly in the back of your Falkirk top. I went out and done that. Got Pelly at the back. I think it was Pelly. I think he's number 19, I think he had as well, actually. So I had that. But then.
He was my curveball, but the actual player I enjoyed, just because, I mean, the buzz he gave us at the time was Farid El Alagu. That season, it might have been longer than the season, actually. But I mean, I'll watch that YouTube compilation at least once a month. It's kissing the coin, the amount of headers that he scored, man. Phenomenal player.
He seemed to be able to just float in midair with his headers, didn't it?
And he came for somebody really weird as well, like the lower league French team or something, didn't he? Or Moroccan team or something like that.
Could be. No, I'm not sure.
Right, we're back on the Google, boys. We're back on the good old. There we go.
John, see before you say it. I've got it in my head that it was something like, it wasn't like Algeria, but the team name was something like Algeri or Algeria or something like that.
Landed up at Falkirk from Romaranten.
All right, that's not it.
Romaranten, so there you go.
I've obviously just made that up.
There you go. It was so it must have been a lower league French side. He moved to the Moroccan top flight. He played for Casablanca and won the league championship in Morocco. And then went to, in 2010, returned to France and signed for CFA club SO Romaranten. There you go. There we are. Anyway, what a player. Kiss the coin. Bring it back. Right, let's get into the game then, boys. I, as I said, missed it yesterday. Absolutely gutted. Alan Ross, you were both there. No changes from last week, though. Good to see Brad McKay back on the bench.
Aye, absolutely.
You stayed silent on that one, Ross, aye?
Yeah, he was there.
He was there. Well, listen, at expense of Big Lawal, Oa's didn't make the bench. I guess the problem is when you've got options, I guess, like Agumon sitting on the bench. Like you probably don't need Oa sitting there, do you?
Probably not. And if I'm being, I know I was joking there. If you're being honest, though, it is good to have McKay back as a defensive option on the bench because we don't really have much defensive cover.
I mean, the only defensive, you've always got options of moving Liam Henderson back into centre-half or bringing Sean Mackey in at centre-half. But, yeah. I mean, out of the, those three players, the most natural centre-half is Brad McKay.
It's good to see him back. And I think that's us now got a full squad back.
Which is, that's very true. There's no injuries now because Stephen McGinn's obviously back now as well.
Yeah. Brilliant that we've got a full squad to choose from. I did think we may have seen a change. I know I sound like a broken record, but...
Oh, God, here we go.
No, I thought Agumon would have came in because I think he would have caused them problems.
For who?
sitting in that 10 hole, like sitting in that 10 hole, if it like
after Nesbitt's man of the Nesbitt. Did you know back Nesbitt for Falkirk Daft rated last week?
I know, but let's
I know, but I just drop him this week.
Different systems, different formations. Listen, me and John know what we're talking about. John McGovern. No, I don't at all. No, I thought Agyeman might have had a sporting chance of starting the game, but as it turns out, John McGlynn got it right, and it was a fantastic start.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. Obviously, huge away support, Alan. You were in amongst it. You were saying before it was just like, you know, and we were talking about it, people just, it was just standing throughout and just the atmosphere of the game. How was it?
Tell you what, that young team have created something electric. And I mean, I think obviously when you've got a game like it was, I mean, I think Hamilton switched the side they're shooting into in the first half. So we all hoped we were going to get Falkirk shooting into us in the second half. But they switched it. So we kind of knew like we need to score this half. And the atmosphere for the get-go to allow that to happen was brilliant. It was up and I mean the repertoire of songs they've got now, by the way, is that they can release an album.
I can't keep up. I don't know it. Like people, my mate down south goes, "What are they singing?" I'm like, "I have no idea, mate."
I've been sending my mum and dad clips of like Christmas songs, being like, "Hey, look, we've got a festive album out now."
Alan, I've had Shakin' Stevens, "Merry Christmas" in my head all.
And what are the words to that?
It's the usual.
I know it's okay, Ross. It's okay.
However, obviously it ends in "fuck the Pars," which is
of course,
which is brilliant though, because there's the line before it though, son, about loving and love and understanding.
It's also so when you're listening to it, the guy, my mate's my brother's brother-in-law, he was there. And obviously he's singing along it, being like, "Wait, no, it's just all the same lyrics." And then obviously it's "fuck the Pars" right at the end, so he just gets it's the way it comes in. It's brilliant.
Ross McKeever one was good as well.
The Wham one. Aye, that's phenomenal.
Oh, I didn't hear that. So they started singing something about Ross McKeever to last Christmas. Amazing. Well done, young team, as ever. Shout out to the Ultras 76. Amazing stuff. But yeah, I mean, you could see, obviously, to over 2,000 Bears, the fact we're outnumbering, you know, Hamilton, who are meant to be, you know, the second biggest. I mean, think there's not, they've been in the Premier League a lot, shorter time than we've been, you know, and the fact that we're turning up in that numbers, outnumbering home support, it's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
It really, really was. And the only thing I disagreed with from the Hamilton socials were the overall crowd was something like 3,800. John, there was never 3,800 at that game. Obviously, you couldn't count it, right? But I would be shocked if there was any more than 800 or 900 in the home stand. It was
looking at the average attendance, as we talked about, I would think it would be more 800 or 900. But then again, it's that time of year. We talked about it last week, how for our drop in attendance, they've obviously count the season tickets up.
Possibly. Yeah,
you know, they'll count every season ticket, because that's probably what we do at Falkirk as well. I think every club does that, to be honest with you. But it did look quite sparse. And I know there was a bit of banter on our socials about a picture you had taken, Ross, and said, pathetic. And someone questioned it, and you said, "No, I actually took that at 1 minute to three."
It was literally just a couple of minutes to three. And do you know what actually filled the crowd out a bit more than the picture gives credit for, is that they must have had full hospitality and what have you yesterday, because the middle sections did fill up 5-10 minutes into the game. And as it turns out, like I noticed, there was loads of videos and pictures last night. It was brilliant. Alan, you were the same. You're probably checking all the stuff, but there was loads of videos and pictures put on from the home end. And as it turns out, there was loads of Bairns fans in hospitality yesterday as well.
Yeah,
so
was that way.
Sharing all the videos and what have you. So it was just fantastic.
Fantastic. So into the game itself. Off tough wire, really. Out the traps really quickly, Ross.
We did, yeah. It was, as Alan said, it was just the intensity from the first kick of the ball. We had a really early chance. I think it was Morrison had put a good cross in, and Nesbitt kind of got his head to it, and no one was really there. But it just kind of, like, that was in the first opening minute. So it just felt like we're going to go for it today. And as Alan said, the players 100% fed off the crowd.
Yeah, and it, you know, we were off to a flyer. The penalty came relatively quick into the game. We looked like we were pressing. I mean, it's hard to see, I think, on the footage that was shown, but the referee seemed quite adamant it was a penalty. Alan, what did you think?
To be honest, if it went against us, I thought it was quite harsh. I think his arm was by his side, so is it a handball? Yes, but it was a powerful shot, and his arms were by his sides. So you can see why the referee gave it. If it had been against us, I would have gone, oh, Christ.
It didn't seem to be a huge amount of complaints from Hamilton, though, and, you know, certainly John Rankin didn't really flag it up in any post-match interview that I've seen, really.
No, he didn't. I don't know where you were sitting in the stand, Alan. Mm. I was at that side of the box, so it was like it massively hit his arm.
But yeah, I was probably a bit more, to be honest, my angle, I was towards the sort of back left corner. So I mean, where I've seen it is maybe hands look closer to his body.
Yeah, it was definitely handball, but as you said, handballs can be contentious. I think even John McGlynn said it on his post-match interview, didn't he, that he doesn't like to see penalties given for that handball in that type of situation, because it's not as if he was like that. It was obviously down by his feet, but I'll take it. And
oh, was it? Look it back to the semi-final against Inverness. We had one like that against us as well. Do you know what I mean?
We've been burnt by it ourselves, so you take it when it happens.
No, absolutely, and great to see a Falkirk penalty. We seem to have had a few more this season, which is good to see. Morrison obviously steps up. Cool as you like, slots it past one of the best goalkeepers. Great, right into the bump corner. He seems to do that, Callum Morrison. I mean, I hate run ups like he does. Honestly, I can't even see the kind of run up he does.
And then moves to the sides, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh no, I can't handle it. But I mean, he does. He seems to have a really good record from the penalty spot. He's only missed a couple, hasn't he?
Mm. Yeah, not recently either. I think the ones he was missing was, remember, it might have been his first season or his second season, and he was forever hitting them high and high, and he hit the bar a couple of times, and one might have went over the bar as well. Thinking back, I can't watch his penalties. Like I looked away yesterday.
I can't. I'm the same. I like a good straight run up and a good just fire it in. You know, that's it.
Yeah,
so I had the fear. See that way when you're standing, like everybody's got their phone and you want to film it because you're like, this could be a big moment. But at the same time, I'm like, if he looks up at me by chance, I want to look composed. I want to let me look in my eyes and know that he's going to score this.
I know. Callum puts in the goal, brilliant. I think it's had 11 goals for the season in all competitions now. Is that right?
Do you know, I'll tell you, because I think I've taken a note of this, or maybe I've not, or no, I've not. Do you know, John, I think he must be there or thereabouts, because when we last did the podcast last week, I'm sure we said he was on 9 or 10. So, yeah.
Nine in the league, it says here.
Nine in the league. I think it's 11 in all competitions now that he's got. So, I mean, Callum Morrison doing the business again for us this season. Top scorer last season, obviously. And then we are really gutted that we took our Falkirk Daft sponsorship of the goals and put it on Jordan Allen. Great decision for me, Ross. There,
that's worked out really well.
It's worked out really, really well for us this season. But he's doing the business. However, you know, despite a relatively dominant performance, we let Hamilton back into it. Brad Spencer nicks the ball, kind of in the halfway line. It just falls to Hamilton player. It was just a hoof up the park. Let's be honest with you. Defence was there. Looked like they could cope with it. Nicky decided to come out, see if he could get it. We mix up, and then the ball falls to Lewis Smith, and it's just, in fairness, a very good finish over the defenders and the goalkeeper and into the back of the net. Nicky Hogarth, a lot of comments being made about his performance yesterday in terms of just looking like a bag of nerves in that atmosphere. What did you make of it, Ross?
I feel quite sorry for him, actually, because obviously, see, when, in hindsight, when I've watched it back, at the time I was probably more annoyed that he'd fumbled it. But actually, when I've watched it back, I don't think the defence have helped him at all. I think there's been massive confusion between the defence and him. he's then had to make a decision. He's not had to handle it outside his box, which I assume is why it's fumbled. And the boys put it over him. It had made a huge save just before that. I think it might have been Tumulty had a really good strike and he'd saved it really well. So it obviously affected his confidence because he then had another couple of instances in the game where he spilled it. I'm thinking more in the second half, Alan, wasn't it? There was a couple of spills that led to a half chance for Aki's, but I think he was let down by the defence at the equaliser. I really do.
Do you think the defence let him down?
I do when I watch it back at the time. No, I was more annoyed at him, but we're so far away at that end of the ground, you don't really know what's kind of going on. And when I watched it back...
Did Nicky need to come when he had... When he, Tam and Col were there, did Nicky really need to come for it? That's what...
But when you watch the defence, though, John, the two centre-halves seemed to slow down because they obviously saw him coming. I think it was just a collective... Error.
No one's put a shout on that ball then. Do you think then it's up to one of the centre-halves to go, I'll get it, Nicky, and out it goes or whatever, you know?
The thing is, the centre-halves are not normally shy. Taking somebody out, so I don't know. But I think John and the team will watch it back and they'll dissect where it went wrong because realistically, Alan... Other than that chance that we created, that we gave them, they didn't really do much else in the game apart from a free kick later on in the second half.
No, we were so good. It looked... Hamilton couldn't get... when we set up out of possession, Hamilton couldn't get to us. They were running out of ideas. They made all five changes before I think we made one sub. Yeah. They were trying to get back into the game. And I think that's credit to how good we were. I think just on Nicky Hogarth, I think he's our keeper. He's 22 years old. He had that spell last week at Kelty, where he had 10 minutes where he kicked the ball to them or threw the ball out to them. Yeah. But then he rebounded by making a big save.
Yeah.
And I think obviously had the goal went in there. And personally, I've watched. I couldn't see it in the ground either. It was so far away. But I watched it back, and I think it's also just unlucky where the ball bounces because it bounces just outside the box where. Mm. If he touches it, like you say, he didn't care what the referee's going to be like. He
literally could have sent him off.
He could have done.
Yeah.
So that's it. But I think he had more moments where he's nervy. And I think personally, as someone who's played in goals in the past, I think if you're a big defender like you're called Donaldson, I think you just need to make a decision. I've got a nervous keeper, right? Brilliant shortstopper, distribution on point. He was creating chances every goal kick, it seemed like.
Well, I mean, the goal that we got, it all came from Nicky. He's just punting.
Exactly. So he's got massive positives. However, he is nervous. And I think as a central defender, when you know you've got that behind you, you take his nervous...
You take control of the situation.
He's a young guy. He's a young guy now. The problem, as you've just said, Alan, the trouble is, see when I've got like Finn Yates or any of the other youngsters that we've had, actually, the fans back them to the hilt, right? The trouble is, as always, when a keeper makes an error, it's a goal or a potential goal that they've let go. So it feels he's probably got a bit more pressure on him than maybe some of the others. I agree with you, though. He's our keeper. So you want him to be confident. You want him to be playing. I do like Sam Long. I don't think Sam Long's a bad keeper either, but he's not our full-time goalkeeper. There's loads of chat on the bus on the way through back home yesterday, and then I saw it on social media last night, people clamouring for a signing in January. I don't know whether John McGlynn might want to do that. No idea. Okay. However, if he's looking at budgets, I just don't see him putting money to...
I think that's not an area we need to strengthen. I don't think it is.
Interesting. I mean, I have seen there was a bit of clamour of getting an experienced goalkeeper in. I mean, obviously the chat was pre-season that Jamie McDonald was possibly going to come back. He obviously ended up going to Morton in the end. But, you know, we've got two very young goalkeepers, and I guess we've talked about it time and time again. We saw Sam Long's mistakes against Dundee United. Nicky's had a few, like Sam had a few, even before Dundee United, Sam had a couple as well. And we've said it's what you're going to get with young goalkeepers. Right. I mean, if we
want, like McGlynn trusts him though. It looks like McGlynn trusts him, and I guess that's the biggest thing.
That says he's like you say though, Alan. He, you saw last week, he bounced back, got a good save last week and what have you. But yeah, it's maybe, I personally think I would have liked to have seen an experienced goalkeeper in alongside one of either Samuel. And bearing in mind what you've just said, obviously Nicky's our boy. But you know, I would like to see a goalkeeper in alongside Nicky to get him through games. And even in training, we've not even got that in training, you know, that experienced goalkeeper beside him, training alongside him, to, you know, give him that wisely words. Now, let's face a fact, Nicky was down at Nottingham Forest and playing with, it was the ex-Man City goalkeeper, what's his name? I can't even remember. Totally went out of my head. You know who I mean, though. But he was training alongside him in that, and you would like to have, you know, seen someone, even in training, just playing alongside him. But I guess it's, you know, it's a question for the manager. You just hope that, and it didn't, you know, obviously the forwards get us out of jail again, but you just hope that one of those mistakes doesn't lead to something.
Yeah, that's the key thing.
Worse than what it was yesterday. Let's carry on the game. You mentioned there, Alan, Hamilton making lots of subs. Obviously, Lee Kildea pulled up in training. That was considering they got that game on a few weeks ago just so he could serve a suspension and then come back for this game. That was a big loss for them because he's certainly one of the better players in the league, Lee Kildea, as is Scott Martin, who went off in 25 minutes as well. I mean, in the last game, Scott Martin bossed that midfield and he obviously limped off at 25 minutes. So all very positive. And then the goalkeeper went off at halftime, but that wasn't before he conceded a second one. And we talked about Nicky Hogarth, the kind of negative. Great ball out from Nicky at the back. We then have, you know, a brilliant like flick on from McKeever. Like his, honestly, that boy, like, because he was up in hospitality last week and we said about him not being, like, I'm taller than him. I thought he was massive, like, but you saw him in size comparison between him and Hogarth and he didn't look really that big, and I'm even taller than him. I was like, oh, bloody hell, he's not that high. But see his ability in the air, his ability to flick on, his ability to hold up is phenomenal. I mean, like, we talked to Alice Porter's name, we weren't that fussed about him leaving, but it's maybe the players he's playing around now, but Ross McKeever's flick-ons, and he just seems to have a kind of second, he knows where the ball and where the players are going to be, you know, every time.
No, he was fantastic again yesterday. He does a lot of the dirty work, doesn't he, as well, as we've talked about before. But in particular, the second goal, though, as you said, I don't think he got the initial header. I think, did Anaki's player head up, and then he's got McKeever, the second one.
Yeah.
But as you said, he's directed it into the path of Miller, who's then just does what Calvin Miller does, and he's just a beautiful, beautiful player just now.
Yeah. Let's talk about Calvin Miller, Alan. You know, a lot of people, their player of the match yesterday. What do you make of his performance?
It was so high energy. Like, it was so high energy. But you could say that about half the team. I felt him especially, always going out wide and always happy to take the ball wide. And see, the thing is, he actually had a couple of runs before the goal where it was a similar situation. And it's when he scored, I thought, why is he not shooting like that every single chance he gets? Because it just seemed to be that Hamilton were happy to try and force him wide. Yeah. And then he's shooting across goal. But I think actually watching the highlights back, it might have been more central than what I thought it was. I think that both were putting pressure on them either centrally and out wide, and Hamilton just couldn't deal with it and forcing them into mistakes. And I also felt the challenges from everyone were top-notch. I mean, when the referee finally gave us obviously Tom Lang got booked, I don't know, like, I've not seen that in the highlights, but should he have been sent off? It looked a rough challenge.
What one was that again? Over towards the main stand side. I thought that was meaty. I thought that was meaty.
I was like, I'm happy this referee's not the same guy that managed the Celtic game, because otherwise we'd be like, we'd have been men.
You didn't send off beautiful Tam Lang. You just would have given the old eye flutter, and Tam's a yellow card, mate. It's fine. It's fine.
He's maybe promised the ref 25% off at that Be Inspired, whatever he is.
All right, Tam, no bother.
Do you know what I loved about the second goal, though? It wasn't just the goal itself. It was obviously just not long after they equalised. which is never a bad time to score because their small pocket of twats in the stand were obviously this and that. And then we scored, and then it was just like, obviously, a lot of the young team were then running over towards it. I know there was a bit of handbags and stuff, but like, what a time to score. Because they thought they were back in. John, I know we need to talk about it briefly as well, because obviously we had Ben on from the Orliaki's podcast last week, and Ben's great, as is Brandon, who does the podcast as well. However, obviously Ben does a vlog during the game, doesn't he? And he's put, he's obviously, credit to him, he's put it out as it happened after the game, and he's obviously very happy when he's recorded his vlog that they've equalised, and then his face just 2 seconds later is like, it's 2-1 Falcon.
I need to see this. I've not checked Ben's vlog yet, but yeah, I'm definitely going to have to go and check Ben's vlog down. To be fair, me and Ross have both been speaking to Ben over the last kind of 24 hours, and Brandon as well, just about various things. But yeah, I mean, they were very complimentary to Falkirk in the way they turned up. They're not very happy with John Rankin, let's just say that.
Three
goals in the 10 minutes, boys. You know, you get in there at 2-1, then you come out the second half, Ryan Fulton's been subbed off, and you're thinking, here we go. And like I say, it goes down, you know, that could be, like you say, you don't want to see any player getting injured at any time, but if it helps our promotion chances, that's all right. But Scott Martin, Lee Kilday, and Ryan Fulton, probably three of their biggest players, actually, out there just now. Off at half-time, we have a goal chopped off. Looked pretty offside to me. Brad Spencer puts in the ball. Donaldson knocks it in, but then... it was Tam Lang had the knock. It comes back to Donaldson. He puts it, there was no complaints. It didn't look from any of the players that it wasn't offside.
Tidy finish, though.
It was a tidy finish from Big Call. And then just the chances keep going. When Miller run down the left, Nesbitt's shots well wide. Aki's had a couple of chances as well. Again, like you're saying, Alan, Hogarth reacted, did well with them. But then the third goal comes for Falkirk, and it was a nail in the coffin. And it was winger to winger. Calvin Miller, what a ball that was, by the way. A ball into the... I mean, Morrison just had to really run onto it, and it was beautiful bit of football, Alan.
It was. It was the perfect time to come. I think it was about 70 minutes or something. So yeah, just kind of thinking we could probably do with one more just to kind of put this to bed, given Aki's right before that probably had about 10, 15 minutes. They weren't creating many chances, but they'd had a couple of moments. But it looked like they were maybe going to come back into the game a bit. So just to kill it dead there, I think we looked across at the main stand and all the fans started leaving then. It was just emptying, because at 3-1 against that our Falkirk side there, there was no chance of them coming back.
No, I don't think so. When certainly looking at the highlights, it certainly didn't look like there was any way back into that game after we got that third goal. I mean, they did have that chance with the corner, which was cleared off the line, but I mean, we kind of restricted them. I thought Colin, again, Tam looked phenomenal at the back.
Same with the right back. Finn Yeats. I felt like he had a really good game, but when I'm just checking the guy's name again, is it Mumbongo came on? Left wing.
Big guy,
quite pacey, happy to take the ball into the byline and cut it back. And he did that a couple of times, but Yeats was really good at marshalling it, and obviously Yeats got support on that side as well. I think he did pick up a booking, and when he got booked, I thought, we need to be careful here. Yeah. But I felt overall he managed Mumbongo really, really well, given how dangerous he could have been.
There was a, just before that effort that you talk about, John, or it might have been from that corner, actually. The boy had got past Finn. What's his name?
I think it's Mumbongo.
So he had got past Finn, and then Big Call, I think it was, came sliding in. Remember Matthew's challenge?
That was brilliant.
And this, 2 summers ago, it was almost like Mackie-esque that he took the ball, obviously, but he took the boy as well. Absolutely flattened him. And
that was class challenge.
Celebrated that challenge like one of the goals.
I mean, I love that understand it seemed, obviously, Cole and Big Tam have together, and you know, like that just defense together. I love big centre halves that just go through guys. And I love, I mean, it's, you very rarely see the kind of tack on that I used to really enjoy, people taking the ball and going through a man and just running it really cleanly. I mean, that's what I love to see in a centre half. And, you know,
there must have been about six of those yesterday, Ross, like more than that. It was every single one. And I think that's the thing, a lot of the times you only get them right, but everybody seemed to be connecting. And that was, you knew that you wanted something good there.
Do you know what I quite liked yesterday as well? I've not seen it a lot this season. Is, see, every time they did make like a big tackle or a big clearance or something, did you notice it was like a bit Top Gun? They were all high-fiving each other and chest bumping and stuff. Even when Hogarth, I think, had made a big save. Oh, no, sorry. Hogarth had fumbled and big Cole had came in and cleared. Cole was the first one over to him and he was like, he grabbed him by the head.
I was thinking the exact same thing. The support he's got for Hogarth, and that's the thing. We as fans, we can criticise Hogarth in certain moments and stuff, but the team have got his back as well.
That
was really good to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you like to see. Absolutely. It's a total team effort. And you can see by the scenes at the goals, you know, right up into the stand and those goals that we scored, and like, just, you know, it's just brilliant to see. And like, brilliant.
It wasn't even just that. There was one moment there where I think there was Hamilton got, it felt like 16 corners in a row. And as soon as it was awarded a goal kick, that got celebrated like a goal.
Yeah.
We were just buzzing. Like, everybody was just buzzing about every positive thing that happened to the side.
I mean, brilliant scenes at the end as well. Brilliant scenes for the goals. We've seen it all on the kind of social media. Like you said earlier on, Alan, the ultras just keeping it bouncing. The songs are on the go. And that's us 3 points clear at the top of the league. Game in hand against Cove. I'm glad to see their run came to an end yesterday against Alloa as well, which is pleasing. Let's hopefully get a few more of those on the run-up to the rearranged game, because we have now got the potential to go 6 points clear, barring any slip-ups over the Christmas period. Do you know what I mean? You'd hope, you go down to Annan next week, you would hope with the position they're in, they've obviously took a draw at Stirling yesterday as well, that we could go there and we'll just have enough to get by them. Do you know what I mean?
I think we've got 3 home games after Annan.
Yeah.
We've got Stirling Albion. We've got, I forget who's in between Stirling and Cove, but I'm sure we're at home the first Saturday in January as well. So it's 3 home games on the spin. So a really, really good chance to kind of, again, start the new year off with a bang.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, like you say, Ross, Falkirk, we've got Stirling, then Queen of the South, who are, I don't like to say it, they're on a decent run, and then into Cove there. So we will see how it goes. Right, listen, let's hear what the manager had to say after the game.
John, a massive game, another huge build-up. You must be absolutely delighted with how the team performed out there today.
Absolutely, yeah. It was all about winning today. I thought the first half were very, very good. I think we deserved to be in front. Callum took his penalty very well. Handball, one of these ones that you get them and some go for you and some go against you. We managed to get this one today. I'm no doubt there'll be ones in the future where it might go against us. I'm not a lover of these type of things, these penalty kicks, where it hits somebody's hand, you get a penalty. So I'm not a lover, whether you get them or against you, I'm not a lover of these type of things. But anyway, it's what it is. The handball rules is, you know, it's strange anyway at times. Anyway, yeah, so a lot of nerve. Callum had to step up. There's a little bit of time in between the penalty being given and penalty being taken, and he stuck it away very well. So delighted to be in that position. I thought our play in that period deserved to be in front. But lo and behold, you know, within 2 minutes, it's one each. Just a long ball over the top. We didn't quite deal with it. Nicky's came into a kind of awkward area. And to be fair, the lads finished it really well. There wasn't an awful lot of room for error because Tom was getting back in the line, so it dropped in just under the bar. And as I say, 2 minutes later, it's game on, it's back to level. But a great strike by Calvin. He did it exceptionally well. I thought Calvin was different class, particularly first half. Second half, a little bit quiet. Second half, but amazing in the first half. And he's managed to pick out Callum Morrison for the ball, for the third goal. Callum ran through, ball kind of broke for us off the defender, he's through 1v1 and manages to stick it away. So absolutely delighted. After that, we've had to defend, we've had to clear balls off the line, defend our box really, really well, as you've got to do. Nicky had a couple of saves to make, one a kind of long range effort that obviously moved, he's going one way and he's had to save it, you know, probably with his left hand as he's going across the goal, and there was one or two hairy moments, but the guys defended really, really well. The whole team defended well, and delighted for them, delighted for, you know, the nearly 2,000 fans that were here today, you know, the 16th of December. There's Christmas coming up and all the sorts of things, and a massive thank you to every Falkirk fan that came here today. Thanks for the backing. Hopefully you're away happy. We couldn't have managed to do it last year against our nearest rivals in the league. Today we've come here and we've done it, showing great mentality, great character, and I'm sure you're delighted. So, you know, there's a long way to go, a hell of a long way to go, but it gives us a little bit of cushion.
We are delighted, John. We are delighted. I mean, criticism's been levelled, especially like a lot of supporters, Raith Rovers supporters included, said John McGuinn can't get it done in the big games. That certainly was the case probably last season, bar a couple of exceptions. That kind of puts a marker down, doesn't it, Ross?
I would say so, yep. And it's not his first big win this year either. I know it's the first one in the league probably. But if you think about the cup games that we've had, like that night against Dundee United, we bossed them. We were massively up for that night as well. Fans played a huge part of that night too, just as he said there. But it definitely puts a marker down. And I think I agree with what Alan said right at the beginning. It feels like that type of game, type of result, that might just see us push on now and continue the unbeaten run. No, in our luck, we'll go and lose to Annan or something. But hopefully not. And we keep pushing on, because I sound like a broken record. We're a different animal. We're a different beast this year. The club feels different. The fans feel different. Let's just don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. 21 games unbeaten in all competitions now. It is a glorious place to be in, and obviously the best start in the club's history as well. So phenomenal. Loving life. Right, okay, let's see what the rest of the supporters had to say on the game. Sean kicks us off saying, different class, front foot from the start, and just got our rewards. Got our just rewards, sorry. Calvin Miller, sensational. Called Donaldson a colossus. What a buzz, man.
So it's the first time I think we've heard Donaldson described as a colossus. That is a good word for a big call these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep.
Another John says, players giving everything for each other. Finally got the team spirit and commitment back that we just haven't had for seasons.
Yeah, Paul says, simply outstanding. Only time we looked in trouble was when Nicky was treating the ball like a hot tatty. Loved the defence, celebrating with each other after some of the boxing tackles around our box. Yeah, we were just saying that.
Absolutely. Behind the wall, / Brian Flynn, fantastic spirit. The team was up for it from the first whistle. Calvin running past to find Callum for the third. Topped off a man-of-the-match performance for Miller. What a signing he's been. Well done to the board, management and players, but the fans were just amazing.
Absolutely, second that. Danny says, that is a statement. Now, I think this might be Danny, who I met a couple of weeks at my Christmas
party. It is indeed.
My Christmas party. Shout out to Danny. I was at the Cash for Kids Christmas lunch, and Danny, I was walking through with Cassie, who I work beside with, and Clyde One, who's the co-host in the breakfast show, and me and Cassie walked through, and I held hers, John, Falkirk Daft! And I was like, all right. And it was, I met Danny at that. I was like, oh, we need to get a picture. I said, do you know what, a picture of Cassie? Said, nah, I didn't listen to the breakfast show. I went, you listen to the breakfast show? So I was like, always get to the point, it was like getting Cassie to take the picture. Very embarrassing, but I did.
She would have been raging with that.
I brought that up on the Monday. I was like, did you hear what happened on Friday? Anyway, shout out to Danny, top man. But yeah, Danny says, that's a statement, not a question. Come on, the Bairns.
Love it. God, that Q&A night at the Enshire feels a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus. Scott says, finally, we step up in a big game. It's been a few years in the making. I'm on the Bairns.
Yeah, Ali is going with the game and the result I've been waiting for all season. Great all-round team performance. With absolutely standout moments. Conceded one and everyone rallied. What a result. Another, what a buzz. Another one of those. I think that could be the name of this week's show, Ross.
Absolutely, it's up there, yeah. Ryan says, going forward, we were sharp. Defensively, we were solid. Controlled most of the game. Great performance and great support and atmosphere. Only unbeaten team in Britain, 21 and counting. Come on! Love it.
Absolutely. And finally, Scott says, outsung, outplayed, outfought, outstanding. I like that.
I like that. Do you know, I think that could be the...
Yeah, we'll go with that one then instead. But there you go. That's what you guys are saying. Right now, gentlemen, it's up to you, gents, to pick out a Falkirk Daft rated player of the match. Come on, Alan, let's go with you first. Who are you giving it to?
See, it's, you think if somebody scores two goals, they deserve it. But it's like probably Miller for the overall game.
I have to agree. It's going to be Calvin Miller for me as well. And it's no slight on Callum Morrison, who was like brilliant again yesterday, two goals. But everything good in the game went through Calvin Miller. So Calvin Miller for me as well.
All right. I've got breaking news, by the way. I've got breaking news just before we get to our Falkirk Dafty of the week, because Calvin Miller's run away. I've got an email from Denon Lewis. There you
an
go.
Actual email from Denon Lewis.
Well, hi guys, the email address is, yes. Hi guys, Denon here. I'm totally mystified that Hamilton did not field any of their superstar players yesterday. What the fuck? Everyone knows that they have better players than Falkirk in every position on the park, and yet they did not field a single one of them in the top of the table clash. This is a mystery indeed. A UEFA Fair Play investigation beckons. The smells of betting scam in the making. Hamilton dropping behind Falkirk deliberately to raise the bookies' odds on a Hamilton League win. Do not be surprised if a Nigerian prince bets the 1 million that a hack he's so kindly donated to his hardship fund when the odds rise to 10 to 1 or so. And then Aki's bring back all the top stars to inevitably romp to the title. Up ye, DL. So there we go. Denon Lewis, thanks for getting in touch there and contributing to this week's Falkirk Daft.
I forgot all about that. Was it £10 million or something like that?
No, was it £10 million? As if Hamilton had £10
million. £1 million, was it?
It was a quite substantial amount that they gave to. Someone got their balls booted for that. Right, okay, so that's your Falkirk Daft, right? Callan Miller, who is your Falkirk Dafty? I've got a bad feeling I know who this is going to be. Ross.
Do you know, I'm struggling because everybody's probably listening to this going, it's Nicky Hogarth. I can't say it, John, because he saved us more than he cocked up in that scenario. And I don't think he's blameless for the goal. So I'm not going to, I genuinely don't have one. I'm gonna be that guy.
Be that guy. Don't get your arse off that fence and get the splinters out your arse. Come on, right. Come on. Who is it?
I'm not going to say, right, okay, I'm not going to say Hogarth because I thought he saved us at right. points in the game, so I'm not going to say
some help. Give me a name.
Do you know, I'll go with Big Alfie because he never done much when he came on. It's a half-arsed Falkirk Dafty of the week, but there we go.
What about you, Alan?
Did somebody not pick somebody that wasn't a player? Can you just say, like, Hamilton Football Club? For like making us buy physical
we
tickets.
We do sometimes, don't we? What about the Hamilton fan that appeared to have a hot water bottle? Can we not give it to him?
Well, on the hottest day of the year as well.
Well, the thing is though, right, Aki's made such a big deal about it being, a robust search. You don't think to take a hot water bottle off some fan coming in.
I don't know, hot water bottle. I mean, there's not much you can do. I guess you could. You could pour boiling water.
Boiling water in it for a
start. But then you could get a cup of coffee for the pie stand and do the exact same.
Listen, the wee Ned who had the hot water bottle, John, he was not making coffee. With
right,
the
okay. The Ned with the hot water bottle is the Falkirk Dafty of the week. I'll go with that one. Absolutely no problem at all. Listen, Alan, thank you very much for coming on Falkirk Dafty. It's been a pleasure to have you on, mate. Ultra marathon runner as well. Wow. He's done 7 hours of run today and he's come and spoke to us two dafties.
John, see, before we let him go though, we have to ask him the question about, so Alan got in touch with you, got in touch with us last season when you were on a stag do. He's not dressed up as John McGlynn.
So it was my brother's stag do, and obviously me and my mate James were groomsmen. I was his best man, and so we decided, my mate James messaged me, he's like, any chance, what do you reckon about this? And it turns out, so we're James is zooming into all the John McGlynn's clothes and finding out like where his tick is on his hat and all the other bits and bobs, and you can buy it all for Greaves. Yeah. And that was us, aye. Brilliant. What a weekend.
How do you describe that when you're kicking about? Who's the stag? That's John McGlynn. Who? What?
Nobody got it. But the thing is, a lot of folk thought we actually just played for Falkirk or were like members of the Falkirk backroom team. It was mad. When the train down, there was another stag further than the train. And we managed to just tell them we were analysts for the Falkirk team. And so they were coming up for a wee while, like telling us about players and that. We're like, actually, mate, I've got to level with you. We're no.
do I remember from your message last year though that he's were like talking like John McGlynn for the
duration. Aye, so we had to for the whole duration of the much of the weekend when we're still thinking about it. We had to answer like in his tone, and so like somebody would ask you like, right, what time are we getting the train? And you would give them this 15-minute spiel.
That is brilliant. That is we're all doing the flappy hands as well.
Oh, everything, man. Everything was doing to a T. You would have thought you were seeing three McGlynns. It was phenomenal.
Tremendous. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Love it, love it, love it. But listen, Alan, thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft this week.
No, cheers, guys. Much appreciated.
Appreciate your time. And if you want to be a guest pundit just like Alan has this week, please drop us a DM, Twitter, Facebook, or you can email us pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Right, it's time to look at our next game, which is Annan away. It's our first visit to Gallabank since 2011, which was the semi-final of the Challenge Cup, in which we won 3-0. God, is it that long ago?
It's weird that it is that long ago, because I do remember it fairly vividly. Obviously, Alan's just talked about Fareed El-Alagui, and he would have been playing for us that day, so... Yeah. Doesn't feel like 12 years ago, if I'm being honest, pal. Definitely doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't feel that long. God, we're getting old. But yeah, I mean, Annan obviously came up this season. They're being held up at the bottom by Edinburgh, who are well off it now. It looks like it's going to be a two-way fight now between Annan and Edinburgh. I mean, still in a... Maybe you could get dragged in. I mean, that's still in a 9 points clear of Edinburgh at the bottom. Annan are on 11 points in those playoff places. Really inconsistent form. Got a draw, obviously, against Stirling yesterday. Seemed to be picking up a lot of draws. Only two wins for the season, however, Ross. But as we all know, going down to places like that, you know, when you've got... Tommy Goss, I think Tommy Goss wasn't fit the last time that we played them, and I think he's back fit again. He's certainly a very good player, and actually a player I wouldn't have minded to end up at Falkirk, but he's back in the fold now and seems to be doing the business for them.
Yeah, he's scored a few goals, what, six or something, so he's obviously got a few goals in the league. Don't know who they've came against, but it's six goals, is nothing to sniff at. I think we need to be professional, John, when we go down there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there'll be another big crowd. I know it's close to Christmas, but I'm sure there'll be another big crowd going down to there. There certainly was 12 years ago. Granted, it was probably the first time I think we'd ever played Annan in a proper game. But for many, this will be the first opportunity to get down to Annan. I know Elliot's have got two buses going. I know there'll be others travelling down as well. So, yeah, just... it's one of these games where you just want to get, as you say it all the time, 1-0 and up the road. That's exactly what we need next Saturday.
Yeah, no. Would you make any changes for next week, Ross?
Probably not, and I don't think you will either, unless there's any niggles. Obviously, Hendo did get himself in a bit of a tangle with one of their players yesterday. He kept playing maybe 5-10 minutes after and then got taken off. He got outpaced by one of their players in the midfield, and I think that was probably what McGlynn looked at and went, oh, I better make a bit of a change here, which is when he started to bring on a sub. But if Hendo's fit, I don't think there'll be any other changes next week, no.
Don't. Yeah, I mean, what would be the... Who would you bring in for Hendo if it was the case?
I assume... Well, you've obviously got Stephen McGinn now there, but I don't think Stephen McGinn's in a starting position. I think he would move...
Would it be more a Yeats into midfield, bring Bisland in at right back?
100%.
That the move you would make, yeah?
Well, don't get me wrong. If Stephen McGinn was fit and healthy and could last... A chunk
of he's probably not up to that speed yet, though, is he?
I wouldn't have thought so. So, but if he is, then he's the ideal replacement.
Yeah.
But on the basis that he's not, I would definitely move Finn back into midfield and Bisland into right back.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed for Hendo. He's been a linchpin in that midfield. You know, for a player that we brought in to play at centre half, he's done, like, the physicality gives you, and obviously, you know, he's the pillow of League One, so, yeah.
He just seems to get himself, like, tackles that you don't think he'll win, he wins. His legs are obviously, like, probably his legs
big
are
big gadget, big Inspector Gadget legs.
He gets, like, there was a couple of instances yesterday where you think, oh, he's not going to get the ball here. Then he swoops the leg in and clears it. So, yeah. No, he's a big, big player. And we definitely want him fit and healthy, and hopefully he is. I'm sure he is. We've not heard from his dad to say that he's...
I'm sure Willie will be in touch to let us know if he's fit or not, so Willie let us know, yeah.
And it's a shot, and he'll want to play, he'll want his son playing, because I think this is the closest game, because they live down that way, I'm sure.
Right.
So it's only like 10 minutes
for his daughter. It'll be a family do it for the Hendersons this weekend.
Exactly.
So are you going to make a game yourself? I certainly won't make it.
I've got a pre-arranged family do on Saturday. Yeah.
It's that time of the year, isn't it? Like, obviously, there's so much going on.
I'll not make it down. I will get to the... I'll make sure I'm at the second inning game later on in the season. I did get down, so I've already ticked it off in my stadium list from 2011. But I do think there'll be a big crowd there. Do you know what I might do, though? Because I'm definitely not going to see it live. But I noticed the club are now doing... Did you see that? They can do like...
Yeah, you can do the audio version of it.
Can do the audio version, or you can watch it back fully from midnight on the Saturday night at a reduced pay-per-view cost.
Oh, really?
I should, depending on how the result goes. I'll maybe...
You're not going to try and avoid the result and go to midnight, are you?
No, as in, I was more meaning... whether I bother purchasing it to watch the full 90 minutes again. But I'm hoping I miss a number of goals, because it would be amazing for everybody going down if we came back up the road with the 3 points and a few goals behind us as well.
Be a very good Christmas present. Going into Christmas as well, to be at that top of the league, 3 points clear. I don't know who Hamilton have got next week, actually. Let's just
Hamilton are at home to Kelty Hearts.
Yeah, so I would suspect. I mean, though, in saying that, Kelty are no mugs. I mean, they've picked up form. There were certainly no mugs against us as well, despite that terrible refereeing performance. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so, exactly.
You never know. Yeah, we'll wait and see what happens there. Predictions for the scoreline then?
I'll stick with what I mentioned a few minutes ago, 1-0 and up the road, just as you normally go for.
Can I just, Sean Elderbrand, the Falkirk football commentator, is, you know, he started doing that as a sign-off at the end of the match as well. Trademark John McAnally, by the way, that is it's 3-1 and up the road. Sean, steal my patter. Anyway, I'll give it 2-0 and up the road. 2-0 up the road with the 3 points.
So, and then obviously we've got struggling Albion on the 8th of December, don't we? So
I know.
I'm just thinking, are we doing a podcast in between, or is this us now until?
Well, there's a quick question. We'll need to talk. We'll talk about that off air if we manage to align our calendars, because it is that time of the year, Falkirk supporters, that there's hundreds of different things going, and we'd have to record on Christmas Eve, which I don't know what your calendar's like. I've got the panel to go to, and I've got work in the morning. But
you don't.
Oh, right. Anyway, right. We'll work that out. We'll work the logistics out. Fingers crossed we've got a podcast next week. If not, it'll be the week after. Don't worry, we'll all have something on the Annan game over the Christmas period, so you can hear our thoughts on that. But yeah, let's see what we can do down at Gower Bank this Saturday.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Fantastic. Top of the league, 3 points clear. Come on! Come on! I mean, it's a good place to be. And you look at the start we've had to this season. It's just a shame. It really is a shame that Hamilton have been good this season. Because in any other league, when you're sitting on 40 points and you're only halfway through the season, you'd be well clear. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
be well clear. But Hamilton are hanging on in there, but we showed them at the weekend who are the daddies of this league. Fingers crossed we keep it going down at Annan next Saturday. Thank you very much for watching, listening, wherever you listen to the podcast. Remember, subscribe, rate, review. Do that on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Falkirk Daft. YouTube, you can watch us as well as listen to us. You can see us there. See Reed Ross's Stone Island. It's wearing Stone Island on a Sunday night. What's going on with you?
We were out earlier on. To be fair, it's not that I'm... John, I've got about...
Stone Island every day of the week.
It's well, not quite, but
thug
yeah,
life, as we say, thug life. Were you in amongst it yesterday when you was all happening down the corner? Were you?
No, I saw the boy with his water bottle and I thought, I'm not getting
him. Didn't mess with a man with a water bottle, do you know what I mean? Didn't mess with a man with a water bottle. Right, listen, your Christmas, you've had it. See if you want to get a Falkirk Daft bit of Christmas, you've had it. But see all that money you're going to get from Santa. Get yourself some Falkirk Daft merch. You can do that, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. We've had a few orders for Christmas, so if you're getting that as a present, wear it proud to the games. But if you want to get anything from hoodies, t-shirts, dog bandanas, the list goes on, beanie hats, blah, 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 loads of stuff up there. Just check it all out, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Join the Discord channel. If you did join the Discord channel, you've seen a fantastic shot of Calvin Miller's goal, which one of our listeners put up on the Discord channel, so it was a great angle to have that at, because the Falkirk Daft highlights, the Falkirk highlights just missed it, kind of, they didn't pan the camera quick enough. So yeah, you'll see it, that up in our Discord channel, all the links for Discord channel. Discord's just an app that you download, and it's like a forum, so get involved with that. And of course you can get in touch with us anytime you want, John at Falkirk Daft, Ross at falkirkdaft.co.uk, anywhere you want it. And thanks once again to Peter at Haldane Construction. Remember, answer that question, what the Haldane Construction specialise in, and you might win that box from Peter and the team over there. Oh, and actually, while I do remember, because Peter asked me to mention this and I forgot to mention it earlier on because I got so caught up in talking about the fantastic box we have on offer, but it's just to say that their apprentice of the year is, drumroll please Ross, it was actually Max McCallan. He was employee of the month, so I've just bigged him up, saying he's apprentice of the year. That was all completely false information. Actually, Max McCall, well done, you're employee of the month, well done. You got a wee picture of Max as well, delighted with his wee certificate. We'll see that up on all the Haldane Construction socials, so get in touch with them. And remember, if you want quality and loyalty, Haldane are the guys for you. Right, there we go. I don't know if we'll get an episode out before Christmas, but if we don't, listen, have a great Christmas, one and all, you and yours, Mon the Bairns, Santa is a bairn, and we will see you back here on Falkirk Daft very soon.
Normally,
you can say Merry Christmas, you can do your Christmas.
Normally, expect the unexpected, buddy, but Merry Christmas.